Morning, everyone. I want to add my word of welcome to you today. My name is Phil Reshton. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm just so glad that you've come to worship with us. I'm grateful that even in the midst of this time where we are scattered, we can still join our hearts and voices among this community, knowing that we are united in our worship of Christ today. We've been embarking on a series this fall looking at the various questions that God asks us in Scripture. And the question we're going to look at today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. And we're going to begin by just standing under this word today. John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. We're going to pull that up on the screen. You can follow along. If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to be reading with us. And so we read. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred while I am trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that even in this moment, in this place, we might discover the ways we might need some healing today, and that by the power of your Spirit, you would speak to us, reach out to us in those places, and lead us to a place of healing and wholeness. And for that, Lord, we need your power at work in our midst. Take these mere words and bring them to life, we pray. In your name, amen. I often find myself making great plans for myself in the evening while watching television and eating potato chips. Julie, that's a good mistake to make. Julie will attest to the fact that there's often times in the evening where I'll say things like, you know, tomorrow I think I need to start running again. Or tomorrow I'm going to start eating more healthy. I remember back in the day before most television was watched via streaming, I always noticed that after like the late shows on TV, there were infomercials for exercise equipment, which suggests that there's other people in my camp, that we often have high goals for ourselves when we've just made some bad choices, that tomorrow will be a better day. Tomorrow, I will seek to be healthy. I think we have this shared common experience that we have these longings for wholeness, for being well, and yet we also, at the same time, bump into this resistance or this reluctance. It's tomorrow that I will get to that, right? The question we encounter in Scripture today at first might seem like a surprising question. Jesus asks us, "Do you want to be made well?" And you think the answer would be obvious. Of course, we long to be well, to be healthy, to be whole. And yet, I suspect that as we wrestle with this question today, we'll notice that we often struggle with this resistance. While we want to be made well, we also find ourselves drawn to our old ways, our old patterns, to those things that give us comfort. And so there's this dissonance in our experience. As we look at this text in Scripture today, what I want to do is weave our story into this story again and discover some of the ways that we perhaps are longing for some healing and some wholeness. And my prayer is that God might meet us in our reluctance, maybe even our resistance, for he has the power to lead us, I believe, from those old ways into a new path towards wholeness today. So the text that we encounter today begins in a very bleak scene, a bleak situation. Jesus is in the midst of a number of people who are described as blind and lame and paralyzed. He is in a place of suffering, a place of discouragement. And in the midst of this group, he singles out and encounters a man who has been paralyzed for 38 years. We can imagine the suffering that he has gone through. In the ancient world, 38 years was the equivalent of a lifetime. The physical pain, the struggle that he has endured, the lack of healing he has encountered. And along with this physical pain and suffering, I would suggest that there is probably a deep emotional and relational suffering that he is enduring. I want to pull up a quote here from Dale Bruner, and he has this observation. He says that this man has suffered not only physical sickness, but human cruelty. 38 years of people taking advantage of him, pushing ahead of him, virtually ignoring him. As a result, we can sense in his reply a soul almost as tragic and as sick as his body. A soul that is wounded both physically and emotionally. And it is precisely into this space that Jesus asked this question. Do you want to be made well? Again, a surprising question. You would think the answer would be obvious. But notice this man's reply. I notice in his answer that he doesn't initially affirm Jesus' question, but he proceeds to lament and talk about how he has struggled to be brought to the pool when he has longed for healing. I notice that behind this answer is perhaps some reluctance or some resistance or some question about the possibility of healing in his life. I'm wondering what some of the resistance is. I suspect that this answer reveals there's maybe some skepticism. As Jesus promises healing again, this 38 years of not being healed is informing him. He's perhaps skeptical, resistant. Is this even possible? You know, I wonder if there's even some fear in this question for him. For as much as there is a desire for healing, healing also comes with the unknown of what life will be after. If this man is in fact healed, what will life be like for him? What will he do for an income if he cannot beg? What will his identity be? I think while we long for healing, sometimes we're held back because at least we know what the old patterns are. There's some sense of control. There's a call here in this question to step into an unknown path. I also see in this man's answer that he's still holding on to these other sources of hope in his life, longing for this pool that has promised some healing. I wonder if he's still looking elsewhere besides Christ for that healing in his life. I'm wondering where you find yourself in the scene. If we could just imagine ourselves into this story a little bit, I'm wondering where you perhaps come today longing for some type of healing, some type of wholeness in your life. For some of us, it may be physical, and I think that's where we maybe pick up the scene initially. But as Dale Bruner suggests, I wonder if there's also some deeper dis-ease in our soul. I wonder if some of us today come paralyzed in other ways, paralyzed by fear perhaps, paralyzed by circumstances that seem beyond our control, paralyzed by anxiety as we navigate this difficult season together. I wonder if some of us would name ourselves as invalid. If we have a low sense of who we are, I noticed that term, this group of invalids, and just the roots of that word where there's this lack of validity that haunts us. I wonder if, like this man, we have been let down by some false promises of healing. I wonder if the pools of healing in our culture that have promised freedom have, in fact, let us down and left us in bondage. I want to pull up another quote here from Trevor Hudson, who's a mentor of mine, and he comments on this text where he says this. He says, "The pool of Bethesda spoke of the possibilities of a new freedom, but failed to deliver on its promises. Years would go by without those sitting there experiencing the liberation their hearts longed. It could be said that a similar thing happens today. Think about all the promises of freedom that our world gives us. They abound in self-help books, television programs, self-appointed gurus, New Age philosophies, political theories, and the like. However, they don't seem to be working too well. In spite of the tidal flood of promised freedoms, there exist around us in ever-increasing numbers sad incidences of people who are in bondage. Friends, I'm wondering if that speaks to your experience at all today. That despite our efforts to be well, to be free, we find ourselves still paralyzed in one way or another. And just as Jesus spoke to the man in this similar situation with this question, I want to pose this question now to you today. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? I believe that this question is an important starting point for our turn towards freedom and towards healing. Dallas Willard has an observation, and I'll probably share this in a couple different settings over the years. It's been very formative for me, but he talks about how we actually change, how we actually grow, how we're actually formed as people. And he says that often we begin with the wrong question. We begin with this question, what do I need to do? What are the methods by which I can grow and change? But Willard suggests that before we get to that practical question of what do I need to do, we actually have to ask this question, do I even intend to do it? And so he has this acronym for spiritual formation, which is VIM, V-I-M, and he says it begins change by having a vision. Do I have a picture of what life could be like? And once that has captured my heart, we then need to ask the question that Jesus asks in this text. Do I intend to live into that vision? Do I want it? Do I want to get well? And then, only then, do we get into the means or the methods by which we do this. But this question asks us to look into our hearts today and ask this question, do I really desire to leave behind the old things, the old patterns, the old addictions, the old habits, to step into this life of freedom that God has in store for us today? Into this, though, we discover some hope. And this is the good news that I want to proclaim to you today, that there is a God who sees us in our paralysis, a God who sees us in our resistance and our reluctance, and he comes to us today. He comes to you today. I think one of the most beautiful things in this text is just the fact that Jesus is in this scene. Our text says that he has gone to Jerusalem for a big feast, a big festival. But notice he is not at the temple. He is not feasting. He's not celebrating. But he has meandered down to the margins to be with those who are suffering and those who are in pain. I think that is such a beautiful image for us. Matthew Henry writes this, I'll pull this last quote up, where he says, "Observe, when Christ came up to Jerusalem, he visited not the palaces, but the hospitals." I just want to encourage you today to know that in your place, perhaps, of fear, of pain, of woundedness, that there is a God who comes to you. A God who promises to be very present with us in those places. I know some of us today, we're just scattered in maybe some lonely places, some places of fear where we're not gathered together. May we be heartened by the fact that Jesus comes to those places. I believe he is with you in your midst, even in your living rooms today. A God who sees us and comes to us in our suffering. And with that, we also discover that there is a God who has a desire for us to be made well. The fact that he even asked this question reminds us that there is a God who not only sees it and has compassion, but has this desire to help lead us towards freedom. But the deeper promise that I want to proclaim today, the good news that we encounter is that we also have a God who has the power to heal us and to restore us and renew us. This text tells us that while the healing sanctuaries of the ancient world came up short, Jesus was more powerful than those things. And this man who had been let down for 38 years, seeking liberation and things that let him down, now encounters a Christ who has the power to heal and to restore. And I believe that God has more power than the contemporary healing sanctuaries that we turn to. That through even this, the spoken word of his Spirit, we have the capacity to be freed from our paralysis. May that hearten us and encourage us today. Rebuild our trust in the hope that things can be different. The last thing that I notice is that then Jesus offers us a challenge to participate in this process. Now, the good news of our text is that we are not left to our limited resources as people. We are not at the mercy of our limited willpower, which has let us down time and time again. It is the power of God that has the ability to heal us. Yet in the midst of that, we also see that we are invited to participate in that process. Paul says in Galatians that it is the fruit of the Spirit that produces the things we long for: love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. That is not something we produce from the flesh, from human effort. And that's the good news of our text, that God who offers us this hope. Yet, as Paul goes on to say in Galatians, we are then called to keep in step with that Spirit, to step into those places where we encounter this healing power of God. And so I notice that Jesus, in this text, invites this man to pick up his mat and walk. And as he takes those steps of obedience, as he takes those steps of action, he steps into the power of God, and God's miraculous work is done. Can we see that participation that we are called to keep in step with the Spirit, step into those places where God can do his healing work? So here's the challenge I want to leave you with today. Where is God inviting you to take some steps towards healing? Steps into those places where he can transform us. To step not into these pools of culture, but into the stream of living water that is Christ himself. I don't know what that step is for you. It may be very different for many of us today. I wonder if God is just putting on our hearts today for some of us to step in to a support group where we might encounter encouragement and support and accountability. Perhaps God is calling some of us to step into a counselor's office or a pastor's office to talk about our pain so that we can begin to experience some healing. I wonder if God maybe is calling some of us to step away from some places, some toxic places, some abusive relationships. Might God be calling some of us to step away from the frantic pace of our work so that we might find some rest and renewal? An interesting detail as you continue to read John 5 is that this actually happens on the Sabbath, and Jesus gets in all kinds of trouble for healing this man on a Sabbath. But one of the things that I noticed throughout the gospel is that what Jesus does on the Sabbath is two things. He heals and he nourishes. He does healing and he allows people to pick grain and eat. And you see, the Pharisees in this time lost sight of the purpose of the Sabbath, and it became this oppressive thing. Maybe God wants to do some healing in your life by recovering a Sabbath rhythm, to step away from the chaos and the busyness so that we could be restored this Sabbath day. What are some of those steps that God is calling you to? God called this man to pick up a mat. I wonder if God is calling us to pick some things up that might lead us towards healing and hope. Perhaps God is calling some of us to pick up a phone today and call someone that we need to be reconciled with, to forgive, to pick up a phone and call out for some help today. I suspect that a lot of us might be called to put down the phone and pick up the scriptures, put down the remote and pick up a prayer book to recover some practices that might place us before God so that he can begin to restore and renew us. I wonder if some of us might be called to pick up our kids and play with them and rebuild some relationships. The challenge today comes with the promise of this text. God sees us in our pain, sees us in our struggle, in our longings that are unfulfilled, and he desires that we would be made well. And he has the capacity to make us well. He challenges us, though, invites us to step into those places where we can begin to experience the power of his Spirit in our midst. So this week, I would invite you again to sit with this question, to wrestle with this question. Do you want to be made well? May that perhaps reveal some of our reluctance and resistance. And if you find that, honestly, that's your answer. I'm not sure if I want to be made well. You are in good company. I think one of the biggest barriers to being made well is that we're still holding on. That addiction I'm trying to break is actually something I still desire. Those things that give me pleasure are things I'm not really ready to let go of. If you find yourself answering that question honestly in that place today, I'd encourage you to just name that, to put that on the table. I shared a prayer with you just a couple weeks ago that I found so liberating that if we find ourselves not really intending to be well, just to ask God to change our intentions, to change our desires. God, give me the desire to desire your life, your values. Lord, honestly, I'm holding on to those old pools, all those old promises. Lord, give me this desire to change. And if we step into that, hear this good news that there is a God who has the power to bring us towards a place of healing and hope. And he invites us to take some steps to participate in that healing work. Friends, would you join me in wrestling with this question this week? Do you want to be made well? For there is a God who desires to heal us. I think it's fitting today that we are going to go into a time now of our rhythm of prayers of healing. And so I'd invite you to just enter into this time, a response now, as Pastor Janet leads us through a reflection, a time to seek out God as we seek his healing work in our hearts. So let us pray together.